Well, I think we've finished up all we're going to do in Job. I know it wasn't very thorough, but I enjoyed it myself, and I hope you did. And what we're going to start looking at now, I don't know how many weeks it'll take. I know we spent probably 7 months probably on Job. But what we're going to be looking at is the glory of God. Now, I know and realize that, as the song says, if the sky was a parchment, the oceans was ink, you couldn't write the love of God, nor could we write the glory of God. But I want us to kind of go back and look, and today we're going to go back and look in from the beginning of creation till how God has made everything to bring honor and glory to Him. That's what it's all about. And that's what we're for, is bringing glory to God and honor to Him. And we'll start in Psalms 19. Excuse me, I'm getting some of this. May talk a while, maybe I can get clear throat here. In Psalms 19, the creation, even in creation, was to bring honor and glory to God. And I want us to look at Psalms 19:1, and we're going to kind of elaborate just a few verses in this. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. You see that, words? And then you get on down, he's going to go to talking about the word of God. Their words have gone out. See, even when you look into the heavens and look at the stars, they declare the glory of God. The heavens declare the glory of God. Even creation was made for His glory and to bring honor and glory to Him. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath He set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming forth out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and His circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. And we saw that in Moses. Excuse me, in Job. There's nothing hid that God's not going to reveal. And that sun is a son, like the Son of God. There's nothing hid from the heat of it. And the law of the Lord is perfect. And you see, he was talking about words there just a little while ago. Now he's going into the law. That's the word of God. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. So you see here that he says the word is perfect, it's complete, and then it's sure, and it is right. It rejoices the heart, it's pure, it enlighteth the eyes, it's clean, it's true, and it's righteous. And it brings glory to God. The creation of the heavens, the creation of everything was to bring glory to God. And as I was studying this week, and I'm kind of slow, I was studying this and I got through I think it was Friday. I sat down for a pretty good while, and I was writing things down. And when I got done, I said, that's seven. Then I thought, I've saw this somewhere. That kind of makes you feel good, but it also makes you know there's nothing new under the sun. You hadn't come up with anything that God hadn't showed somebody else. So there's no need looking for it. But as I got to looking, and I said, this is seven manifestations of God and His glory. And it started in creation. And I couldn't find the I said, I got a chart somewhere, and I got to look and couldn't find it, but it's not important. But we see in the creation that brings honor and glory to God. And they rejoice. There's many scriptures we could look up. And as I fed birds these last couple of days, and just, I don't know, I like to do that, and I like to watch them. They just hover around and eat, and it's just like God's creation brings glory to Him. And it's just like they're rejoicing in the Lord that He's provided for. I mean, it's just good to know that even in creation. So the first thing we're looking at there is the creation. And even in the creation was to bring glory to God. And not just the creation of the heavens and the stars, you know, all of that, and the earth and the animals, but man. Man was created to bring honor and glory to God and to fellowship with God. And as we lead into this, I've been in several of these lessons before. Several years ago, I found a book at a yard sale. I remember telling you about this, and it was Dwight L. Pentecost. I don't know if you like him or don't like him, but anyway, he wrote a book on designed to be like Him. And we are designed to be like Him. Why? So we can fellowship with Him. And so we can have fellowship with Him. So it starts off in the creation. He made the creation, and it was to bring honor and glory to Him. And man, let's look at Genesis 3:8. I want you to notice some things here. When you kind of read between the lines, I'm not reading between the lines, but actually just looking at the setting, there are some things that Adam knew. Adam knew he had fellowship with God. You know, Adam was made in the image of God. And we'll see that as we go through these lessons. We'll talk more about that. Why? Adam, before he sinned, he had a mind to know God. And he had a heart that he could love God. And he had a will that he could serve God. But sin broke that down. Sin is what broke that fellowship. And that's what breaks fellowship even today. Sin breaks fellowship with God. And that sin broke that fellowship down. He was created in the image of God, but when he sinned, after him, we were created in the image of Adam. When we're born again, we're created in the image of God. You realize that? Why? Because we're given a mind that we may know Him, a heart that we could love Him, and a will that we could serve Him. That's what we're given when we're saved. It's mind, heart, and will. We've talked about that a lot in this class. And God gives that to a man. But in Genesis 3:8, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. So Adam had a mind that he could know God. He recognized God's voice. And when recognizing God's voice, see, he had a will that he could serve Him. And he knew that he had broken God's will. So he hid. And he had that fellowship broken. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Now, in the beginning of this, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden. And that first time I ever studied Genesis and really studied it, and I got to looking at that, the voice of God walking in the garden. And I kept trying to say, well, that's God walking in the garden, and they heard His voice. But I'd go back and read it again, and every time I would read it, the Holy Spirit's saying, the voice of God walking in the garden. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The heavens declare the glory of God. And they speak words. Man looks at them, they're going to speak words to him. Through his mind. Okay? So, You can treat that the way you want to treat it. Just read it. There's just something about the Word of God, the voice of God, and the reality of how alive it is. Okay? And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew. All right, let's go in verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. So Adam was created to have fellowship with God and to bring honor and glory to God. But sin broke that. Sin broke that. And the next place that we see is the glory of God. You see how God is glory, his glory is manifested in his creation, and it was manifested in man. He made all the animals and created them, but he breathed into man a spirit. Remember what we saw in Job? There's a spirit in man, and the inspiration of God, the Almighty giving him understanding. He breathed into man and gave him that spirit that he could know him, a mind that he could know him, a heart that he could love him, and a will that he could serve him. Adam broke that will through sin. All right, now let's look at another place. Look in Exodus 33. He was manifested in the face of Moses and in man that way. Exodus 33:18. This, we're just taking these and leading up into a series of lessons. I don't know how many there'll be, but we're taking these manifestations of the glory of God and leading up into how everything God created was created to bring glory to Him. Now, that's where we're leading with this. Now, in 33 and verse 18. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Now that's asking for something, isn't it? God said, you can't take it. You can't stand it. He said, I'll hide you in the cleft of the rock. And said, I'll hold my hand up till you can't see my glory as I pass by. And then you can behold my hind parts as I walk on and see my glory. Now let's look over here in verse 13. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way that I may know thee. Now, hey, this is critical here. You ought to draw a line if you draw in your Bible from verse 13 to verse 18. Okay? Says, now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. But he said, now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way. Paul says that I may know him. So how many times did he say that? And the power of his resurrection. God wants us to know him for one reason, that we can bring glory to him. And if you'll start, and I'm not going to go through all these scriptures, but if you've read your Bible study, you know it. You know what happens when man, he was supposed to bring glory to God, and God gives him all this stuff, and he starts bringing glory to himself. Look at Solomon. Look at what happened to Solomon. We'll talk about that a little later in this lessons. When Solomon asked God for wisdom, and God gave him wisdom. But when the queen came, and she started, what did she start doing? Saying, oh, there's no greater man around. And then God wrote Ichabod, didn't he? Man don't get God's glory. Man was designed to display the glory of God. And as we see here about Moses, we'll look at him here. There's an outshining of God in his creation. There was an outshining, there's supposed to be an outshining of God in Adam in his creation. The heavens declare. When you declare something, you speak it with authority and affirmation of it. And the heavens declare the glory of God. There's an outshining of the glory of God in his creation. Then there was an outshining, it's supposed to be an outshining of the glory of God in man, his creation. Now, it says, now therefore in verse 13 of Exodus 33, if you just come in, this we're going to be looking at lessons for the next few weeks on the glory of God. And why, you know, even in creation, God started in his creation. Psalms 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God. Everything made in his creation was to declare his glory. Man was to declare his glory. Now let's look at it. It says, now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way that I may know thee. God gave man a mind that he could know him, and a heart that he could love him, and a will that he could serve him. And most of the division is separated between the mind and the heart. That's right. We bring it into our mind. Man brings it into his mind, but he don't let it penetrate his heart because of the flesh. And we'll see that as we go through these lessons. But like I said, if you draw a line in your Bible, you draw your line from Exodus 13 to verse 18. And he said in verse 18, and he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. The glory of God shows his goodness. The firmament, the heavens declare his glory. And you notice what it says about their words. Now, that's just not coincidence. And then in Psalms 19, it's talking about words of the creation. The creation is speaking to man. Then he goes talking about his law. The law of God is perfect, converting the soul. The word of God brings honor and glory to God. And that's what it does in our life. Why? That we may know him. The only way you're going to get to know God is through this book. Now, that's a fact. You say, well, we can know him. Yes, I understand. We look in the firmament. We're going to get close to God and have fellowship with him. Why? Why did it say those words were sweeter than honey in the honeycomb? We're going to eat them. We're going to desire them. Now, so you see first that the creation was made to bring honor and glory to God. Man, Adam, was made to bring honor and glory to God. But he chose to sin. And that destroyed his fellowship between him and God. Man was made in the image of God that he might know him. You know, when Paul said, I have the mind of Christ, that new man has the mind of the Lord. Has the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit is the mind of Christ. If you're going to know Christ, you're going to know the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will give you understanding. And I'm not trying to make something complicated out of this. I'm not. That's why I'm giving you these things as we follow through the Bible and look at them. Now, and like I said, draw your line between 13. Therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, sight, show me now thy way that I may know thee. We need to know him and to know his way, don't we? And we're going to know his way when we look at this word. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. When we see the glory of God, you know what you're going to see shown? You're going to see what happens when the glory of God is displayed. Right there it is. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. the proclamation of the glory of God. What did he say? The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. When man is bringing honor and glory to the Lord, he is declaring the Lord Jesus Christ. Not himself. Now, every one of these manifestations we're looking at was kind of temporary. Some of them are temporary because that's God's dispensations and divisions. But most of them come from man. Look at Solomon. As we get to looking at that, Solomon's house, the temple, was to declare glory to God. But who started getting the glory for it? Solomon. What happened? Don't get upset with me, but think back. Think back these great works that we've seen in our days. Think back about those great works we've seen in our days and what happened to them. Why did it happen? Because all you could hear was glory and honor to the man that made the work. Now, I'm not speaking untruths here. I'm telling you the truth, and you'll realize it if you'll think back about that. God is a jealous God, and his name is Jealous. I read that this week. He will not share his glory. He'll allow us, as he does the Son in that creation, to declare his glory. He will allow us to do that. But man likes to take glory. He can't help it. It's our nature. That's what Satan wanted. He said, if thou will worship me. Wasn't that what he told the Son of God? If you'll worship me, he wants that glory. And if he can take a man and his selfish pride and get him to accept some of that glory, but you look what's going to happen in just a few years. The rug's coming out from under it, and it's going. Travis has told me not more than one time. He'd ask me a question about something. My answer was this: if it's not of God, it'll come to naught. And you'll watch it. It'll come to naught. It'll go away. Because God's glory, everything we do, we do all to the glory of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, whithersoever you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do it all to the glory of God. And that don't mean taking this self-humbleness that says, well, to God be the glory. Because you're bringing glory to you and then sometimes even saying it. Yeah. Now, you got to be careful. Now, don't get looking at me like a calf looking in the new gate. I'm just telling you the truth. Sometimes a mere thank you is enough. When I teach a lesson and somebody comes to me and they say, well, that's a wonderful job, I don't say, I just say, well, thank you, brother. All the time knowing it wasn't me that blessed anybody. It's God's word. And he gets the glory and honor. And where does honor and glory come from? The outward appearance of man? No, it comes from the heart. God looks upon the heart. And how he has to bring honor and glory to him. And we were designed to be like him when we were born again. We were given a mind that we could know him, a heart that we could love him, and a will that we could serve him. Because he says, whosoever will, let him come. Whosoever will. It's got to enter into that will. All right, let's move on from here. But we see here that he said, I will make my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the glory of the Lord before thee. And look over at 34:6. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed the Lord the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. That's the glory of the Lord. Even the Son, and when I see that, the Lord, I think of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Son brought honor and glory to the Father. Amen? And in verse 6, and the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. His word brings honor and glory to him. I can't, as David said in the Sunday school meeting, I feel like I know he's Joe's daddy because he talks about it. I can't help it. There's a lot of wisdom in some of the things I heard growing up. Preach the word. I heard that from him. Preach the word. The word condemns sin. We want to preach the sin. Why? Because it brings honor and glory to us that we are not committing it. But preach the word. The word condemns sin. The word is what does it. It's the word of God. And the word brings honor and glory to him. It can't happen. It won't return to him void. So we see here, let's move on just a little bit. So we see in the face of Moses. Now, when Moses came down off the mountain, and when he was in the presence of God, when he said, right here, he said, I think it's 34:30. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh him. Now see, that wasn't Moses' glory shining out. That didn't make Moses anything. It made God everything. God's glory was coming out, shining out of him. And he veiled his face. This is so powerful. You see what I'm trying to tell you? The word of God brings honor and glory to God. You see over in 2 Corinthians, and we'll look at that in just a minute. Let's read this first. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh him. And Moses called unto them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned unto him, and Moses talked with them. And afterward, all the children of Israel came nigh and gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him in the Mount Sinai. Not until Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. Now let's turn to 2 Corinthians 3. Second Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13. And not as, let me give you the setting here. He's talking about the word of God. Look in verse 6. Who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. We're talking about in this chapter the word of God. And then administration of the Spirit. Now look in verse 11, for if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished, but their minds were blinded. For until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament. The heavens declare the glory of God. This word, his book, declares his glory. And they shouldn't be a veil on it today for us. If we have a mind to know him, a heart to love him, and a will to serve him, there's no veil on this book. Just a desire that we would know him. What did Moses say? Show me thy way, that I may know you. They, as Job said, such a small portion is known about him. As I've said many, many times in this class, and I still don't know. My prayer has been, God, help me to know Calvary. Yes, I know the forgiveness of sins. I know that. But I've just seen just a little bit of what that was. It took me 30 years to see Isaiah 53. For God hath made him to be sin, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That is love. What did he say when he passed by? He says, when if I pass by and you see to my glory, then I will declare the Lord gracious, long-suffering, merciful. Huh? That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Such a little portion is known of him. That's why this book is so refreshing. There's not a book in the world that you can't learn. I believe if you sit down and you can take Webster's dictionary and memorize it and know it. But, brother, you ain't going to know this one till God reveals it to you. And you can read it again and again, and he'll keep showing it to you. There's not a book like this. No, nowhere in the world. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. You see, the mind wasn't the problem. It can go into the mind, but the heart's the problem. That's why when you get over in Romans 10, you see if a man can believe in his heart and confess with his mouth. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. God has made man that he can declare his glory, just like the universe, the sun declares God's glory in its brightness. And it declares it. We can declare God's glory. You see this? Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass. I don't have time to run every one of those references. But this book is just like a mirror. That's what he's talking about, a looking glass. You remember with the ladies that sat close to the tabernacle door when they donated to the labor? The looking glasses? That when that priest went into the to the holy place, the holy of holies, into the holy place, he looked first into that labor, and he saw himself. That's why it's with open face. Brother, you look at this book. This book is in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, isn't it? It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing and dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature. And that made this book alive. Neither is any creature that's not manifest in his sight. You see that? The Word of God. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. This book, Just like it said over there when we read it a while ago in Psalms 19, declares the glory of the Lord. And it can shine in your hearts, and then you can manifest the glory of God. Time's getting away from us. But what we're looking at here, and we'll finish it next week, is in creation. The creation was made, according to Colossians 1:2, to bring honor and glory. It said all things were made by Him and for Him. They were made to bring honor and glory to Him. Man was made to bring honor and glory to God. God manifest his face in the face of Moses. And in the tabernacle, we'll look at next week, the tabernacle manifested God's glory. And it wasn't the tabernacle that did it. The old tabernacle was covered with badger skins, wasn't it? What, didn't it have three coverings? And to look upon it was to look upon just an old badger skin roof and building. But inside was the Shekinah glory of God. And when the priest went in to make the offering or the atonement, the bloody mess wasn't there to be looked upon. It was required, but it wouldn't have been a good sight. But what did he see between the cherubim? The glory of God. So the tabernacle, you got the creation, then you got man, and then you've got the tabernacle, and then you have the temple, and then you have Jesus Christ himself. He shows the glory of God displayed in him, and we'll look at this next week. I'm not just rushing through these. And John said, we beheld his glory. See, there he is. Then next, what is it? What's next? The church. Christians. Then what's after that? None of these things were permanent. That's what's amazing about this. None of these things were permanent. Man blew some of them and God just took some of them because the dispensation ended. I think Solomon blew it. I think Israel blew it. I know God knows it all, knows what's going to happen, had a plan throughout eternity. But Solomon asked for wisdom. God gave him wisdom. He gave him understanding. He gave him knowledge. And through that, just shined God everywhere. And even the queen saw that. But so much honor and glory was brought to God. Then you go into Ezekiel, and you see the glory of God outside the temple. When man starts taking God's glory, the Shekinah glory of God was outside the temple. And what did he say about the temple? Right, Ichabod on it, didn't he? Was that not right? Man is designed to bring honor and glory to God, not himself. Amen? So, I got lost in all that. So we see the tabernacle, and it was not in the tabernacle. Look at this. See, I can bring honor and glory to God, but when you look at me, what do you see? Just an old boy from the mountains with very little education, can't speak clearly, can't do things right. But God's glory can be manifested out of me because He is within me. Just the same way that tabernacle. God chose the church to dwell in them and to show His glory. And it is all about Him. Now you want to see Ichabod. What did He tell the Gentile nations, Paul, when He said, be careful, isn't He saying be careful? That the same thing that happened to Israel don't happen to you? Same way with Solomon. The temple was designed for God to manifest His glory to the people. But the people like to give glory to Solomon. God put an end to that. And he'll put an end at it today. When man starts giving glory to the work and not the man who created the work, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. See, man's just a man. Like I was telling you last week, I can't. There's some things I hear and say that stay with me for a lifetime. And I guess reading about that old beggar is going to stay with me for a lifetime. Because there's that old tabernacle. That old tabernacle was badger skins. That's all it was. But inside was the glory of God. And when the preacher was looking for wisdom and a message, he said, God, give me this. And he showed him the old beggar crouched under the torch. That old tabernacle there. And he said, who told you that? Where did you learn that, beggar? He said, when I stopped going to man for wisdom and started going to God. That's when I learned that. Thank you, brother. You're not going to get wisdom from man. If you stay in this class, you're not going to get wisdom from me. But if you'll take this book that I'm trying to tell you something about and you study it and read it, you'll get some wisdom. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image. You want to be like him? Read his book. Look at him with an open face. But you can't look in that glass and see yourself. If you look in that glass and you see you, you got a problem. But when you look in that glass and you see him, you can be changed to his image. You can be more like him. So, the seven manifestations of his glory there is in creation, in man, in Moses, in the tabernacle, in the temple, in Jesus Christ, in the church, and when he comes again. And now I've just talked today. We'll look at all the scriptures that go for that next week. As Melvin preached Wednesday night, and he got to that last verse, when we see his face, huh? You remember that? If you were here Wednesday night, you heard that message. When you'll see his face. All right, so when we see his face, we'll be seeing the glory of God. You see what the disciples wanted to do when they saw his glory? They wanted to build three monuments, didn't they? Moses and Elijah, was it Moses and Elijah? And then Jesus said, only his glory to him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord.